Greetings and welcome to Jots and Tittles, the short form podcast in which we're going to be taking a look at the question, is confessional bibliology false teaching or is it a false teaching? Last week, someone sent me a link to an online article by Kit Brandenburg titled The Who Is Nicer or Who Is Meaner Argument for the Texts of Scripture. This article is pretty amusing, and it notes that those who advocate for the modern critical text have a distinct tendency to use this so-called argument, the who is nicer or who is meaner argument for the texts of Scripture. And they often use this argument by charging advocates of the traditional text with not being nice to them, not being charitable. And then they use this as a reason in favor of their position, so that their position has all the nice people and the traditional text position has all the grumpy people. And it's interesting, in this little article, he mentions Mark Ward and James White in particular as among those who frequently make use of this who is nicer or who is meaner argument. Indeed, in Mark Ward's online review of the book that I co-edited, Why I Preach from the Received Text, he is highly critical, especially of one of the authors, Chris Myers, and the rhetoric that Myers uses in his article. In fact, Mark Ward begins his review with something of a message or an exhortation against so-called tribalism in these discussions. He writes the following, this is Mark Ward, quote, "When I read a book such as this one, one that announces its agenda on the front cover, I am always on the lookout for the authors to demonstrate their awareness of three of the very simplest of truths in a biblical worldview, namely that one, there is created goodness in my opponents who are made in God's image, two, the fall affects my tribe, two, and three, Christ's redemptive power is strong enough to save both of our tribes." He continues, "When Christian people forget or ignore or even deny these simple truths, they fall into tribalism, into canonizing their friends and demonizing their opponents, and they lack both humility and charity. When the other side is only ever wrong and our side is only ever right, there is pride and every evil work," end quote. Well, as I noted in my rejoinder to Mark Ward's toxic review of my book, it seems that Ward is not completely consistent in the way that he applies these arguments. In fact, as I pointed out in my rejoinder, Ward, I think, demonizes Chris Myers in the review. This is what he wrote. He wrote of Chris Myers' article, quote, "I respond to a great many arguments from KJV/TR defenders, and I ask the Lord for patience in this work. But Myers' words are utter and complete foolishness, unworthy of response. They are almost impossibly divisive. They are sin," end quote. And of course, I made the point in the rejoinder that this seems inconsistent. On one hand, he's saying we don't want to demonize, we want to be charitable to our opponent. But on the other hand, that's a pretty harsh assessment of Myers and of his article. Given Mark Ward's stated desire not to engage in demonizing his opponents, I was surprised to hear in the last episode of the Textual Confidence Collective, which was posted last Monday, Monday before last, actually, August the 22nd, and this was the last episode, episode 7 of 7, I was surprised to hear Mark Ward declare toward the beginning of the episode that confessional bibliology is a false teaching. So let me just play what he said. Now, in this opening segment, if I can set it up before I play the clip, there's a conversation among the panelists, and it's been very interesting to read Peter Van Cleek Junior's blog posts on the Textual Confidence Collective. He posted, I think, at least one for each one of the episodes. And in one of the very first ones, he talked about the fact that the panelists, some of them, at least three of the four of them, seem to be sharing trauma over their negative experiences coming out of their IFB backgrounds. And I've made the comment to several people that Mark Ward's fixation on the King James Version and its negatives seems to be more rooted in his problems with IFB church life, IFB theology, and somehow that gets transferred to the King James Version, the use of the King James Version. He sort of assumes that if you use the King James Version, you must be in a spiritually unhealthy type of church. And we ought to be able to differentiate those things, that there probably are some healthy churches that use the King James Version. There probably are some unhealthy churches that use the King James Version. By the same token, there are probably some healthy churches that use modern translations, and there are probably some unhealthy churches that use modern translations. But Mark seems to think that there's only one possibility, that is, if you use the King James Version, it must be in an unhealthy church situation. Anyways, I was surprised then, given his sense of wanting to be charitable and not wanting to demonize, him make the statement that our position is a false teaching. And so I'm going to pick this up. This is the 7-minute, 17-second mark. I'm just going to play maybe 15, 20 seconds of it. And again, they were having this discussion about trauma over their various experiences coming out of bad IFB church experiences, some of which apparently focused on the exclusive use of the King James Version. And here's what Mark Ward has to say.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people who watch my channel are affected by this in their families. Their families are literally broken up over this divisive issue. And I think often in Galatians 5, man, I think of it so often, that the works of the flesh include division, contention, and strife. Now, of course, if we're wrong, then before the Lord, I have to admit, we could be guilty of the same thing. But by his grace, we don't think we're wrong. We are trying to be peacemakers. And the source of this division is, in our judgment, a false teaching of textual absolutism. And you're listening to guys who've had to pay a real price. I haven't lost family relations.
All right, we'll stop right there. But the thing I want you to focus on is, he said, the source of this division is, in our judgment, a false teaching of textual absolutism. So Mark Ward declares in this final podcast in the Textual Confidence Collective that what he calls textual absolutism is a false teaching that is the source of divisions. Now, I suppose that if this would be the case, if he's making this charge that if you hold a textual absolutism, you're holding to a false teaching, this must mean that those who promote this view must be false teachers. And back in the third episode, the panelists defined what textual absolutism was in their opinion. And they talked about five different positions within textual absolutism. First of all, they defined two so-called extreme views, and these were Ruckmanism and KJV-onlyism, pure KJV-onlyism. Then they put also under the textual absolute canopy three so-called moderate views. These included King James Bible defenders, King James Bible TR defenders, and then finally, TR defenders. And in the category of TR defenders, they put E.F. Hills, they put Theodore Letus, and by association, really, although they discreetly never mentioned the current confessional bibliology movement, obviously they put us in that camp because we are in line in the stream, in the trajectory with Hills and Letus. And so what did they do? They were conflating our position with positions like that of Peter Ruckman, like that of true KJV-onlyism, which we would see as truly a false teaching. It doesn't match in particular with Westminster Confession of Faith, Chapter 1 and Paragraph 8. But they were lumping us in with that position. So, in this final episode, when Mark Ward says the source of this division is, in our judgment, a false teaching of textual absolutism, he is saying that confessional bibliology is a false teaching, and that presumably that those of us who promote this view, that we are false teachers. That is, on the face of it, a very serious charge. It's a serious charge to bring against anyone. It's an especially serious charge to bring out publicly on a YouTube video cast. I mean, it's serious because when we think about what the Apostle Peter wrote about false teachers, it certainly raises the level of the importance of this. I just picked up my Bible, looked at 2 Peter 2:1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And you may well know that 2 Peter 2 continues to talk about the judgments that will come upon false teachers. So, I'm hoping that Mark Ward simply made a mistake here. He made a mistake in his wording, and he was talking about false teaching with respect to something like the Ruckmanite view or something like that. And I'm hoping he wasn't saying that confessional bibliology is a false teaching. And I think really, in light of the fact that he's made this charge, it certainly would make sense, wouldn't it, if he would be willing to correct that, publicly correct that, perhaps even consider withdrawing the video as it is up now and either editing it or just taking it down altogether, maybe even taking down the entire series, because we've got the other problem, major problem, of conflating confessional bibliology with a lot of positions that are not confessional bibliology. Just today, I happened to post on Twitter a quotation from John Owen that comes out of his collected works, Volume 4. This is part of his work on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, page 234. Owen wrote, "As therefore the integrity and purity of the Scripture in the original languages may be proved and defended against all opposition, so we must ascribe their preservation to the watchful and powerful operations of the Spirit of God, absolutely securing them throughout all generations," end quote. And I just thought of that phrase, that the powerful operations of the Spirit of God absolutely secured the Word of God through all generations. There he's echoing the Confession, Chapter 1 and Paragraph 8. And his specific use of the word absolutely is interesting. Does this mean, I was wondering, whether or not Mark Ward would categorize the Prince of the Puritans, John Owen, as a textual absolutist? And if that's the case, would Mark Ward suggest that John Owen was therefore promoting a false teaching, and that he was a false teacher? I certainly hope that Mark Ward would not make such a charge against John Owen or against anyone else who would hold to the classic Protestant view of the text of Scripture, the so-called confessional text view, that he wouldn't say this of a E.F. Hills or of a Theodore Letus or of any of the people in the contemporary scene who are in the confessional text movement, the Trinitarian Bible Society and others, because that's a very serious charge to make. So, anyways, I hope that this will bring some clarification, maybe some action, maybe a call to action to redress this grievance. And so, anyway, we'll see what the Lord will do with that. Hope you've enjoyed listening to this short episode of Jots and Tittles, and I'll look forward to speaking to you in the next episode in the series. Till then, take care and God bless.